I'd like to start with a verse in Jeremiah 18, first verse. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord's, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Have you ever gone to some place to watch them make pottery the old way with the old wheel that's spinning? And it's really interesting to me to have seen that and then read this, to see what a person that has the ability to take a chunk of clay. I was thinking of this in my mind of the picture I had seen of here's this lump of clay in a bucket of water. And here's this man that knows he has a mental picture. When he reaches in and gets that chunk of wet clay, he has a mental picture. Here's what I would like to make with this. And you know what? We could look at that same lump of clay at that time and we'd have no idea what he would be able to make from it. But he starts out, and this one says, we watched it. Now this one goes on and says, and the vessel marred in his hand. And that could happen to us if we were doing it naturally and we're not experienced in it. But we're talking about God wanting to make a vessel. The only way that vessel will mar in his hands is the part that I have to play with it. Yes. And I was thinking about that song that was just sung. You know what? I've got a big part in doing what that song said. Every piece in the chorus was something for me to do. Never let go of his word. Never do this. Never do that. My part in it. And you know, I have a part in what kind of vessel. Whether this vessel is going to mar. God's got a picture in his mind of what he would like to do with each one of us. And the end of the picture is he'd like for every one of us to make heaven our home. He is not willing that we perish, and he's willing to take some time to mold me into a vessel that he would like to be able to have. And then I looked at another, as we go on down here, because here's who he was really talking about in the sixth verse. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And I was looking at another verse over in Isaiah 64. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You know, I was thinking about that. I'm the clay. He's the potter. And we read the verses that tell me, okay, because we think about it. He has in his mind what he would like to make in my life with me, to make heaven my home in the end. And then I see those verses that tell me, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask what you want, and it'll be done. What would I ask for? When I look at my life and how far I can see, I can't see very far. When I'm talking about being able to spend eternity with the Lord, what would I ask for? You know what I want to ask for is, Lord, have your will in my life. Do whatever it takes that I'd be able to make heaven my home. There is a verse of a song I was looking at this afternoon, 237. Maybe if we could sing that first and last verse. This is me realizing how much I need the Lord's help. First and last verse of 237. Lord Jesus, my blessed Redeemer, I humble myself at thy cross. I die to the world and its treasures and count all its riches but dross. Oh, make of me what thou wilt have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. He just fashioned me to thine own pleasure, till thou shalt thine own image see. Lord Jesus, help me to be faithful and never to yield to the foe. And when to thy courts I am summoned, oh, may I be ready to go. Oh, make of me what thou wilt have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Just fashion me to thine own pleasure, till thou shalt thine own image see. So can you imagine the clay as it's being laid out on the wheel and being shaped, of it having the thought, what are you making? You know what? It doesn't ask that. It's just pliable in the potter's hands. How easy it is for me to try to figure out, Lord, what are you doing in this working with the clay? And it made me think of another song, number 111. You remember the verse we were saying, you're our Father, I'm the clay, you're the potter. I need to be able to see this as he's working with me. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. You know, how many times the things in my life, it seems like, Lord, I could tell you a different, a better way to be able to do it. And I think I could still make heaven my home. And yet he knows, he's got that mental picture. Here's what it's going to take for this to be a vessel that can make heaven my home in the end. A fairer way may seem to show, it's only that our earth-dimmed vision, the truth can never clearly know. God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see. You know, that's easy for us to sing that. We could sing all five verses of it. But then when it comes down to the tests that come into my life, sometimes it can be a different story. But it says, wherever he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best. It's best for me. Even when I don't understand the direction or what he has in his mind. I was thinking about the children of Israel. And you know, if I put myself in their shoes as they go through the wilderness and all they have to eat was manna, and after a while they got mighty tired of manna and they wanted something different. And I looked at a verse in Psalms 106. Because you know what, I can have some times in my life where I'm getting tired of it going this direction. I want it to be different. It says in 106 and 11, Psalms 6 and okay, down here in the, well, 11 starts out when the good times are going. You know, I don't have any trouble when my life is going good, thanking the Lord for how he's developing things. This is as they're watching the Red Sea cover back over their enemies. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. Now, you would think that could just go on for several chapters. But it says in the very next verse, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. Their desire was, and I probably would have been the same way, as Lord, I'm tired of this. I want something different. But it says, to the point that he gave them their request. Yes. You remember it says, ask what you will, and I'll do it for you. That's a dangerous place for me not being able to see tomorrow. Because he gave them their request. Remember, he sent meat, more meat than they could eat. And I wonder what happened when they saw that all coming in and they ate it. They may have told the Lord, "Lord, I thank you for what you have provided. We asked you for something different, and you gave it to them." But it says he gave them their request, but there was a high price with it. He sent leanness to their soul. And you know, as I look at my own life, where I would like sometimes things to be different, and the Lord's trying to make something in my life, I sure don't want him to say, "Okay, I'll give you your request." But you know, leanness, from the messages we've been hearing over the past months, I can't afford leanness because the day of the Lord is coming. And the worst thing is for that leanness to come and I feel like, you know what, God supplied what I wanted and I'm thanking him for it, when all the time he had something else in mind, but I overrode it to the point that he gave me what I wanted, but it cost me so much. There is a verse over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him." You know, there's so much in these verses. We've read them so many times. And yet it's telling me, don't lean to your own understanding. When I can look at something and I see this is the way that it should go, I can even tell the Lord, "I believe this is the way it should go. Don't lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge him." In all of the places where I think, "Lord, it would be best to do it this way," that I would acknowledge him. "Lord, I cannot see into the next minute out ahead of me. I do not know what is best for me, for my loved ones, for the Lockharts, for every prayer we're praying. It's best that I acknowledge him." Amen. "I need you, Lord." You know, I do not know what's best for Brother Michael. We have sent so many prayers up, and I can tell the Lord, I've got so many reasons why you should. You know, I could have said so many reasons why the young girl should have lived. And there's the potter with the clay. Yes. Got a plan. And the end of the plan for every one of us is to make heaven. And I have heard testimonies before of someone who had a child that was sick, sick unto death. And they begged God until he healed that child. The child was saved. At the time, it would have died. Yes. And that person lived long enough, the adult lived long enough, the parent lived long enough to come back and say, "My child has gone so far away now. I wouldn't have prayed the same way had I known." We're just the clay. You're the potter. Yes. I cannot see. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Yes. And he will direct our paths. It says he will direct our paths. It doesn't say that it will even line up with what I wanted it to be. But he promised he will direct my path if I will acknowledge him. Part of this acknowledging is to realize who I am and who he is. Lord, you can see all things. And I acknowledge that. Now, Lord, I ask you to work in these. And I believe with everyone, I think it's been good for us over the past few weeks. Yes. To be, it has for me, yes, to be continually in a spirit of prayer. Lord, our list is growing. Yes. It's getting bigger. It's getting longer. And these are not just somebody that needs a little money to pay a bill or something. This is lives on the line right here. Yes. And if the Lord answered them the way I wanted, they would all be healed tomorrow. Yes. They would all be well. all of my prayers would go that way. My prayers go that way for myself. Lord, I want you to take away this problem. I want every one of them is for the betterment, for doing something better for me. And I cannot see eternity. I cannot see out in the future what it may not even be for the person that we're praying for, but it may be the influence that it has on somebody else. We just cannot see as God does. And I look at a verse in Isaiah 55 where this potter is trying to remind us of something. 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. And you know, as a child, when mom and dad would read me the stories in the Bible storybook, you know, it seemed like most of the time God worked in a way that I would have never thought would work. And I believe the reason for that is he says, I'm not going to share my glory with another. When this thing finishes out, when the walls of Jericho fell down, and that was Joshua's first battle as a commander, Joshua could not walk away from that battle and say, I'll tell you what, I planned a strategy that overcame the enemy. It had nothing to do with planning. It had all to do with obedience. And how many times through the scripture, that's what I find it to be. And here he's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I need to remember that because I have thoughts. I have things come in my mind, and I think I see the solution for it. And I was looking at a few places in the scripture where someone had some thoughts going through their mind. I would like to look at Luke 24. In the 24th chapter and in the 21st verse, this is the men as they were traveling on the road to Emmaus. You know, they have some thoughts going through their mind. And Jesus meets up with them, and they don't recognize him. And he asks them, what manner of kind, in 17th verse, Jesus talking to them, and they don't know it, says their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He said, what manner of communications are those that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And he said, art thou only a stranger, in the 18th verse, in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And it goes on down the 21st verse. Jesus is dead now. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We trusted. We looked at the situation and had it figured out. This man is going to redeem Israel. And I was looking at another one in Acts 1:6. His disciples, when they see him again after he is risen, in the first chapter of Acts, they have kind of the same question in 1:6. When therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Remember he's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are so much higher than yours. And you know, they had some scripture that they probably used to believe Jesus is going to redeem us from this oppression that we have. They could read scripture back there in Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And they had that all those hundreds of years to look forward to. There's coming a Messiah one day that is going to redeem us. It won't be the Roman rule over us anymore. And here is their thoughts. And the potter is trying to make the clay as he desires. And they have thoughts of how it should have been. You know what, except that he would help them with that, this could be their downfall. because they could have turned away from it and said there's nothing to it anymore. But I'm thankful that he was willing to work with them. Another verse of that song says, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. Yes. You know, I can spend days trying to figure out. I have spent probably too many hours thinking about the Lockharts and why. If this had not happened, then this would not be. And all those things. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but just trusting. Submit thyself into his hand. That's what the clay laying on that potter's wheel is doing. It has no input of here's what I want to have done about it, but submits. I want to learn to submit myself into his hand. There was another instance in John, in the 11th chapter of John. This person had some thoughts. 11 and 20. Lazarus was sick, and they got word to Jesus in time that he could have come and healed him. But it said he waited another 2 days before he went. And now Lazarus is dead, and there's some thoughts going through the sisters' minds. And you know, we read about Martha, and all I read about Martha is how she was cumbered about with much serving, and Jesus had to give her some correction. But you know, I look at this verse, this is a commendation of Martha here. It says, Martha, as in the 20th verse, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. You know, we never read that. As, you know what, Martha, she did have some times where she went out after the Lord. This was just one where she saw she needed some help in the kitchen. But she says to him, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, this is faith. Lord, I know if you would have been here, my brother had not died. In her mind, it's too late now. There's nothing else that can be done, except that she goes on with one more verse. This is a lot of faith. 22nd verse. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. You know, she had a recognition of who the potter was. Yes. He has the ability to raise Lazarus back up if he just asked the Father about it. There was another one that I was thinking where there's some thoughts that are running in these people's mind in the 4th chapter of Mark. Because we can read about them, and maybe the ones that run through my mind are different than theirs at times. But we have the same thing sometimes happen to us when trouble comes. In 4 and 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And here's Jesus. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You know, it would look like faith to them would say, we're just thankful we're on the same boat he is, because there will no trouble come to us as long as he's here. But instead, what they were concerned about is, they didn't go to him and say, Master, wake up, you're about to drown. You're going to drown here if you sound asleep and go under. No, what their question was, Master, don't you care that we're about to drown? You're sound asleep here. You ought to be concerned about us. And Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. Yes. You know, he can do that to our lives so much. What I would like to have is the faith that when the storm is crashing, when it looks like this thing is going to go under, to just realize not if God is on board, not if Jesus is here with us. All I need to do is make sure he's on board and stay on the boat. Don't jump ship, because we're going to be safe if we can stay on with him. I thought also about the importance of me embracing what God sends to me, accepting it. And I looked at Job. the life of Job, and you know, he didn't have what we have available to us today. But I looked at what the things that came to him, and I'd never see a verse where God told him, Job, here's what's happening to you. Here's what's going to happen when I turn Satan loose. But Job, I'm counting on you. Be faithful to me. Yes. Job never saw that. It's just some incidents started happening in his life. But Job had a belief in God. Not so much, okay, the Lord has made me wealthy, and so I believe in God. No, there was something more to it. Because in a short period of time, everything he owned was gone. He had no children. He had no livestock. He says he was one of the greatest men of the East. And it was all gone in a short amount of time. Can you imagine what really was happening is God was shaping a vessel on the wheel. Sometimes we see it as maybe that was for salvation when he made a vessel out of me. But you know what? Daily through my life, the Lord might need to reshape a little bit, some changes that he wants to make in my life, or maybe just some tests to be able to see where I am. And when all that disappeared, was gone, Job finished out that first chapter. He arose, 20th verse, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and he worshiped. And you know, as I am the clay and God is the potter, it would be good for me to remember what Job was able to remember. When I came into the world, I had nothing. When I leave out of here, I will have nothing. Amen. The Lord gave, and it was the Lord that took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I believe he was not saying that just from his lips, but felt something different in his heart. Yes. But from his heart, he was able to acknowledge, this is God working here. God is working with this piece of clay, who was Job, had something that he wanted to mold out of him. And this is what Job was able to say. You know, we're living in a time, and it's so easy when troubles come that I can attach a name to the trouble that comes to me. It's a person that did it. You know, I'll do well as God is working with my vessel. I'll do well to say, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. He didn't say, okay, I made me a list. The Chaldeans did this. There's coming a day I'll get even there. Or the Sabaeans, they took these away. But instead what he said was he just summed it all up. Put it in a package. And he said, the Lord is the one that took it away. You know, I feel different about that when I say the Lord allowed this to come into my life. And I want to submit to it. And we heard this morning about the places where Job came to. Though he slay me, I'm going to die trusting him. Now, that's a confidence right there in the Lord, a decision that he made. And where he said, the places where I normally felt God, I don't feel him now. The left hand, the right hand, in front of me, behind me. The places before where God used to meet with me, I don't feel it now. But did he say it? I'm through with it. I'm going to give it all up. Mm-mm. He knoweth the way that I take. Amen. And when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He's got a plan for me. There is another verse in Psalms, Psalm 66, that gives us a reminder of what happened to Job. 66 and 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. You know, there were places in the Bible where I read about the children of Israel. When they were going into captivity and Jeremiah was talking to them, Jeremiah told them clearly, the Lord is the one that is allowing this king of Babylon to come and take you over. The Lord has got a plan in this because he wants to bring you back to himself. This one right here that says, gives it to the Lord, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. And you know, I can spend time thinking of the names of those men that are riding over my head. Or I can realize, Lord, you've got something that you are planning in my life. Because it goes on down to say, I realize that there is a plan. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. Amen. The things that we're going through now, that we would be able to recognize the Lord has a plan in all of them. And when I get to step out into eternity, if I have let those work for my good, those songs that say it will matter but little at last, where Paul said these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they were major things. But he was realizing, you know what? God's shaping a vessel out of me that I'll be able to make heaven my home. These light afflictions work for us a far more eternal weight of glory. There's a plan that he has for me. So I was thinking of the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. That's an easy song to sing. We can sing it from memory. But to be able to allow the Lord to do it in my life. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. You know, there's a verse that says in Romans, the 8th chapter, it is up real close to the verse that says all things work together for good. But it is 8:26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that is quite a verse. I don't really know how to pray as I ought. But here it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Searching whose hearts? Mine, for one. Yes. And he knows, says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he's praying for us, the Spirit is, according to the will of God. This is going to be the best thing for them to be able to make heaven their home in the end. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me. And I thought again of the story that Sister Maxine had gotten us all to, helped us to get the little book, Hinds Feet on High Places. You know, this girl, she had a desire, I want to go to the high places. You know, all of us do. But we'd like to get there the easiest route possible. And as I read that story where Shepherd is going to promises that he'll lead her to it. But now he says, you can call on me at any time and I'll be there. But I've got a couple companions that are going to go with you. Sorrow and suffering, yes, will be your companions. They're going to get you to the high places. You know, had I the choosing of my pathway, I would choose something different, yes, to get me there. And you remember she was saying, no, I don't want these. He said, this is your only way to be able to get there. Follow them. And then they turned away from the high places and they headed out in the desert. Yes. And you know, had I the choosing of my pathway, I'd say, no, I can see the high places this way. But the shepherd has said, follow them. And it led her into a place where she was yielding her will. Yes. I had expected it to be this way, but I allowed God to work in my life. And when it came down to, I've been so impressed with when she came down to the place where it's desert all around, but there's this little camp. There isn't a living, no flowers, no nothing. Nothing can live out there. And yet as she walks along, there's a water pipe that has a small hole in it, and it's dripping on that desert floor. And there is a flower blooming right in this little puddle of water on the desert floor. And when she asked, what is the name of that flower? It's acceptance with joy. Right out here when nothing should cause me to thrive at all, there is something that can cause me to have acceptance with joy in my heart. And so then the last verse of the song says, okay, Lord, I've come to the place where I want to say thy way is best. So lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand, it's guaranteed. Thy loving hand will truly guide me. And safe to glory, bring my soul. Thy way is best. God's way is best. I may not see it. It may look different to me. All of these things that we're praying for, I would like for every one of them to end in a positive note.
Yes.
You know what? They will all end to in a positive note if we will allow God to mold and work those things as he sees best. Because when we factor in eternity and the length of it, I cannot fathom it. But yet I'm headed to a place. If I submit or if I don't submit, if I turn away from God and people have done it because he didn't do things the way they expected it to go, or if I will yield myself to him, allow him to make a vessel that's of honor to him. And what we heard this morning, that it would bring glory to him.
Yes.
Whatever will bring glory to him. I desire that to be my desire in life. I desire in prayer.